the Village of Itasca. Mayor, when you're ready, you can go ahead and take the roll.
February 16th, 2021, 7:22 Village Board Meeting.
Okay, I'd like to call the Village Board Meeting for February 16th, 2021 to order. If the clerk could please take the roll call.
Trustee Ayani.
Here.
Trustee Givanas. Trustee Givanas.
Here.
Trustee Latoria.
Here.
Trustee Leahy.
Here.
Trustee Linsner.
Here.
Trustee Medeiros absent.
Jody, Trustee Givanas is here.
Trustee Givanas. Roll call for Trustee Givanas.
Trustee, can you hear me?
We can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, now you could, the clerk's gonna ask if you're here, if you could respond.
Roll call for Trustee Givanas.
All right, if you could all stand and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To the Republic,
one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to make a motion that anybody zooming in unmute, put themselves on mute for the pledge.
And Dino, talk a little slower here. We couldn't keep up.
I think there's a delay somewhere.
All right, we are at audience participation. Is anyone online that would like to, has anyone signed up, Deanne?
No one has signed up to speak, but if anybody who is remoting in would like to speak, they may do so by clicking unmute. And if you're on the telephone, you may do so by clicking *9. So Trey, if you would like to speak, I have given you permission. Patrick, if you would like to speak, if you can do so at this time.
Hello.
Hi, is that Trey?
Yes.
Okay, we're just at, did you have anything you want? I know you're online. Did you want to make any statement to the board or ask any questions, or are you just listening tonight?
I'm just listening in, and I'm just taking notes as I go along.
So. Okay, perfect.
Patrick, if you would like to say something.
Thank you, no.
And then the phone number ending in 4256, if you would like to speak, you'll need to press *6 on your phone. Okay, phone caller 4256, you are live.
I just wanted to say good evening. I'm Jennifer Troutman, just listening in this evening. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. All right, we have four sets of meeting minutes. The first one is for the Village Board meeting from February 2nd, 2021. Are there any questions or clarifications? If not, if I could have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Ayani.
Four.
Trustee Givanas.
Four.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Medeiros absent.
Okay, and then we have the Capital and Infrastructure Committee from February 9th, 2021. Are there any questions or clarifications? If not, if I could have a motion to approve.
A move.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Givanas.
Four.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Medeiros absent. Trustee Ayani.
Four.
And we have the Community Development Committee meeting minutes from February 9th, 2021. Are there any questions or clarifications? If not, if I could have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Maderis absent. Trustee Ayani?
Four.
Trustee Cabanas?
Four.
And then finally, we have the Finance Committee meeting from November 10th, 2020. Are there any questions or clarifications? If not, if I could have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Leahy?
Four.
Trustee Linsner?
Four.
Trustee Maderis absent. Trustee Ayani?
Four.
Trustee Cabanas?
Four.
Trustee Latoria?
Four.
Okay, we have the no presentations, correct, Miriam?
No presentations.
Okay. Right, then under President's comments, actually, this is kind of a fun thing. It kind of got my spirits of winter got lifted a little bit when we got to talk last Thursday. We had our meeting with Rick Staback to discuss the 4th of July fireworks and if we could, how it could happen or possibly, you know, can it happen and how it would happen if it did. I think the people on the call, which was Carrie and myself, Bob, Mike Subers and Mike, what's Mike's last name at the fire district?
Lysik.
And then Rick Staback was on there too. And I think the six of us are under general agreement that we'd like to see 4th of July happen. I think we can make it happen. Rick has put together some possible budget for the event that we would like to discuss with the board. And then we'll go from there. So, Rick, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So we started by looking carefully at the venue. And if you look at the site drawing in your packet, I've brought a blow-up of that anyone can look at in greater detail. It's kind of hard to discern, but you'll see areas that are set up as grids. What we did is we worked with Dave Olson at the Jenkins Group and tried to identify the potential number of people that could be there adhering to socially distanced guidelines. So we set up these 12 by 12 foot grids, which would allow us a 6 foot circle inside there and then provide 6 feet of space on either side of that 12 foot by 12 foot for social distancing. We came up with roughly about 10,000 grids where you could have people sit and be accommodated. It's a large site. It doesn't include the parking areas. If people wanted to sit in their cars, we could set it up much like they've been doing drive-ins, where people sit in every other parking space, so there's social distancing between the cars, and they can stay in their car, and they can watch the fireworks that way. So there is space out there for people, the number of people to be determined based on the village's desires on how they want to try to limit this event. We also moved the fireworks staging area, so it is in a more compacted location, further away from Raging Wire. We've had discussions with Raging Wire. We understand their concerns. We've identified those concerns, and we've received good feedback from them this year. Obviously, they want to review it going forward, but for this year, they're on board with this plan and with this layout. So that seems to be an area that'll be easier for us to contain, and I'll get blow up of these drawings to Mike Lissick at the fire department for him to review. To try to limit the number of people on site and try to keep people from commingling as much as possible, it would be our recommendation that we just begin parking cars at 7 in the evening and essentially open up the venue at 7 versus at 2 or 3. This gives 3 hours for people to drive in to park and to get settled in their groups. We would not necessarily, you know, to keep the budget as efficient as possible, we wouldn't bring in live music, so that wouldn't also encourage people to come early. But we still need a sound system.
We need a sound system for public address announcements, for safety announcements, weather alerts for people, to remind people to wear masks and to maintain social distancing. So essentially, you wouldn't have a stage, you would just have sound towers throughout the viewing area so people could hear announcements and then the music. Also to try to cut down on the amount of commingling of people, we wouldn't do food vendors or a beer tent. Once again, we're just trying to keep the event to be a fireworks show. That's the main draw for people, so we just emphasize the fireworks. And by the way, in speaking with Melrose, who is working on fireworks shows for a number of municipalities this year, they're going through the same process that the village is going through right now. There is a general desire to start doing fireworks again, but people are cautious about it. And one of the things that a number of the municipalities are doing, which is similar to what I recommended here, is they're not doing parades, they're not doing food venues, beer tents, they're just sticking to fireworks and they're trying to just make sure that they get a fireworks celebration for 4th of July. And they're trying to minimize the amount of time that people are in their location for the fireworks. The fireworks show itself, over the years, has become both a high-low and a low show. To accommodate residents in the community here who may not be comfortable coming out to the site, we can transition the vast majority of the show to high-level shells. The high-level shells break between 300 and 800 feet in the air, which means they can be viewed from a distance of 2 to 3 miles. So if people are within the village and don't feel comfortable coming to Hamilton Lakes, and they have a clear line of sight to Hamilton Lakes, they'll be able to see a great number of the fireworks. And what we can do is make sure that we stream live music for the fireworks show so someone could pop their, you know, their iPods in their ear and listen to the music or play it somehow remotely so they could get the benefit of the music with the fireworks. The budget, I really just went back to square one with. Even though I'm saying the budget is $38,000 less, it's $38,000 less of a cash contribution from the village from the last budget, which was about $145,000. This year is projected at about $106,000. The overall budget itself has been reduced by $75,000 because I've scaled way back on what I think our parking revenue is going to be. Typically our parking revenue is $65,000 to $70,000. I've only budgeted for $30,000 in parking revenue. I want to be extremely conservative for that because I really don't know what to expect. And I'd much rather, if we get more cars and we collect more money, then I just give more money back to the village at that point. So the parking revenue is only in the budget at $30,000. We would reduce the fee from $25 to $20 because there wouldn't be live music or food or a beer tent. I would recommend keeping the fireworks show the same. We had a great show 2 years ago. We have great shows every year, obviously, but 2 years ago was an outstanding show. And if we're going to give people what they look for from the village, that's the big draw, is the fireworks show. We did have a deposit that was made for 2020 of $17,250. What Melrose did for the village, and they did it for all of the accounts. They said if you did a fireworks show the next year, rather than just keeping the deposit as a cancellation fee, they would apply it as a deposit to your next show. So they are applying that $17,250 toward a $115,000 show. So we would be billed $98,000, $97,000 for the fireworks show. So those are the thoughts that we had, I think, when we met on the Zoom call. I tried to put to paper the topics that we talked about. and how to handle this thing. I think that's everyone's question, is how do we handle this best? How do we handle it safest and still give people a great show at the end of the evening?
Does anyone have any questions for Rick or thoughts?
That was great.
Mike?
Hope we can put it together. This would really be a good kickoff. I like it.
Mike, you had a question?
Yeah, what if it doesn't go again, does the money that we paid for the last time it didn't go toward this time it doesn't go?
I would ask Melrose to apply it to whenever we do it again. The question would be for Melrose, will you be in business?
Yeah.
They may not be. If they made it through this year on PPP and they laid off 30 to 35 employees, and so you go, it's a family business, and the guy that runs it. If we don't have, if we can't do 4th of July, we're probably going to have to close up shop by the end of the year, so that would probably be the reason we wouldn't get it back.
But so you have this show, it's really COVID ready. It's prepared for all COVID conditions, so there shouldn't be any reason why the show wouldn't go on, other than, as you said, if they were to go under, that, you know, then the show wouldn't go on, but there shouldn't be any, you know, further COVID restrictions, right? Because you're accommodating.
Unless the state pulled back the restrictions again.
Right.
Again, right now, the restrictions indicate that there shouldn't be any events in excess of 50 people.
Okay.
So part of this is, you know, again, getting some feeling if we were to try to do a larger event, can we create it in a way that it could be safe and meet the state's qualifications? I think that that's part of what we're looking for today. Like, this would be the budget and kind of how it's envisioned, but there's definitely going to have to be some conversations on whether or not this would meet the state.
But it sounded like most people would remain in their cars, or am I wrong about that? No.
Or the 12 by 12 squares on the ground would actually be sitting.
So, and that's really a question for you guys to give me direction on. Do you want us to limit? It's really difficult to limit people walking into the event.
Yeah.
But we can limit cars. And there's a number of ways that we do that. We'll have 2 points of entry and we can barricade the rest. And we can predetermine the number of cars that we think is going to be safe and feasible to leave plenty of distance for people within the venue. We typically park about 2,500 to 3,000 cars. So I'm showing this budget at about 1,500 cars. The site should easily accommodate those people. It's hard to know what to expect, and I'll be honest with you. Unfortunately, it's going to go two ways. People may say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable in a large setting like this, and I'm not coming. Or they may say, I can't wait to get out and do something that's normal again, and this is a great show, and I don't know how many communities around Itasca are going to be doing shows. If Elk Grove is going to do a show, Wooddale's doing a show. I know that Medina Country Club is doing a show, but that's just obviously for their members. But there are a lot of places that are in discussions about doing it. So it's really a question for the village. Do you want to try to limit the number of people as best we can to this event? We've never done that before.
I think, like you said, it's going to really depend on what the restrictions are. Hopefully there won't be any, right? But if they are, I think we just have to be, if you're able to be flexible with that, right? And I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that we could possibly lose $30,000 in parking, up to, right, based on your new numbers, or maybe half of that, because that could essentially happen. We could still have the fireworks show, but we may have to limit number of cars. So I think we need to throw
Can you speak on the mic, please?
Yep. I think we need to throw that out there, that there is a possibility of us having to pay you know, more money, because we did take that $30,000 away, thinking that would be the revenue from parking. But if restrictions cause us not to have that many people in an event, we're going to just have to be okay with swallowing
it. And I would say, if we're thinking of this, and certainly we should almost plan as if you're going to get no parking, and then
right.
if you get some,
well, this,
it,
yeah,
it helps
plan
out.
Plan for the worst case
yes.
scenario, right? But I think we do have to have that conversation.
Right. About a third of that $30,000 comes from parking spaces that Hamilton and other owners of the park buy for their tenants. So it's really looking at $20,000 of additional revenue in parking. So that would be 1,000 cars that come in. And we've never had less than probably 1,800 or 1,900 cars ever come. So it's a pretty, I'm pretty comfortable with that number. I understand what you're saying, though. If people just decide, you know what, we're not going, and 100 cars, and you're right. Then
right. I just think we have to be aware that we may not.
$30,000 more than what I've already discussed.
Correct. We just may not be able to count on it. That's all. As long as we're comfortable with that.
And even like people on the north side, I would encourage them to try to stay out of the park if they could.
Right.
You know, I know yeah. we're. We always have a backyard barbecue, and I'm going to probably just watch it from my backyard, because I think we'll have a good seat from that, and it certainly will save on the resources
sure.
there. So, but I think certainly, with because of the large venue area, we can certainly accommodate a crowd of some sort.
I have a question. So the first two steps, you know, coming in cars and going at different times and going to their grid little square areas and sitting, I understand. But when it's over, how do I explain to people to wait and leave orderly? I mean, in the past, some of those bridges have been just wall-to-wall people. I just don't know how to explain to people how they're going to be socially distant leaving the park.
I think what you have to do there is ask people to leave by areas. Make announcements through the evening and ask people to remain in certain areas. And because we do have a grid system that we use mm-hmm. for life safety. Each of these areas has a letter. I think we have 7 or 8 different zones. We can ask people to leave by zone. Once again, there's no guarantee that they all won't get up and leave, obviously,
right.
but we can certainly encourage them to do that. It really is a responsibility of the individuals there to try to maintain some distance. You're right. I do think people are more used to this in public now and in public settings, and they do tend to space out more naturally. But obviously it's something we can't, there's just no way to police something like this. Unless you say, you know what, we're gonna pre-sell tickets. The village is going to, you have to go to the village hall, you have to go online with the village if you're a resident, here's your pass. And then if you want anyone else to come, they're gonna have to pre-purchase a pass. Maybe it's a parking pass, you don't charge admission, you have a parking pass, and say, you know what, we're gonna give out 1,000 passes, and that's it. So now you have 5 or 6 or 7,000 people out there, not 10 or 15, which is a huge difference in terms of spacing and moving people around. But then it becomes a more of a logistical challenge. How do you enforce that? How do you get the word out? How do you do all these things?
Yeah, and I think some of those things can be worked out as we plan it. As long as, you know, if the board says let's go for it, we set the budget, we can work on how logistically this is going to work. Mike?
In the past, I've voted against this, or not to increase the budget at the event. So I like it. I think we need to do something. I can certainly support this. But here's where I'm at. this town has set the trend with helping out our businesses and helping out our restaurants by allowing them to operate and stay in business. So I think we attacked this event the same way. We laid down some ground rules. We explained to everybody what we're trying to do, but people are people. There's no way we're gonna enforce this. There's no way we're gonna enforce the groups of people walking up there. So let's just lay down some rules and some, you know, the best of our ability and go for it. I don't think you could police it. Even parking every other spot, I just think it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, if everybody can sit on an airplane or sit 6 feet next to each other at a restaurant, I think they can park next to each other. So we can't enforce it. We can lay down some rules. Let's have the event to the best of our ability. But, you know, let's not run around doing citizens' arrests and, you know, kind of pointing things out. Did I say that okay? Does everybody understand what I'm at?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you want the restaurants to be able to set up food tents for this event?
I don't see why not, but I'm only one person. I'd like to go for the whole thing, and, you know, have the fest, have everything, but I'm only one person. I think we should give our restaurants a chance to be open later if they choose to. Try to cap, you know, get the people to come to town and stay open later and stay open longer and have tents available at their locations, you know, try to maximize the event we best we can to where we're just not shooting off fireworks and everybody goes home. Try to have more of an event.
Okay, if I may, yeah, and not to be a killjoy on the event, but I just want to give a few perspectives because I think there's some things that everybody needs to be aware of. One is right now in phase four, as I said earlier, we're at no event larger than 50 people. That is what the state currently says. There are negotiations going on right now with the state and various communities and special events to see if it's outdoors and this and that. You know, can we do something that's bigger than that under certain circumstances? If we cannot, that anything that we do as far as this event, if it becomes an issue, it will be our liability because we have gone against the recommendations. So one of the things that I want to just be very clear is that from a staff perspective, we've been careful to say, I think we can move forward in this direction, and because I think that there is going to be some leeway, but it would be, the board needs to know, unless we have it approved, more or less, the concept or the way that we're doing it within the state guidelines, there would be some significant liability that could ensue. And so as we're talking about the type of event we're going to have, maybe they would let food come up, but I want to manage expectations. I think staff is 100% committed to figuring out how to get fireworks up in the air so that residents can see fireworks, which is something that this town is known for. I think having a, you know, 1,000, 1,500 person event is to be determined based on what the state is going to allow, because taking on that liability from a municipal standpoint for what is likely going to be a lot of out-of-town folks would not be most likely a good plan. So this would give us some flexibility to explore that, and we're committed to exploring it. I also know, similar to how Trustee Ayani said earlier, the police do have some significant concerns about not necessarily entering, but how to have an orderly exit, depending on the amount of people who are there. And while we have learned a lot, we also know one of the things we've learned is that people get very tense in COVID when somebody gets too close to them. And it's late, and it's after fireworks, and so we're kind of noodling how to accomplish it, but wanted to have this discussion with you all before we move forward.
Any other questions, thoughts?
Is there any way to have them without the people?
Well, we're staying in cars.
Well, no, everything's overhead. I've watched it several years from Franzen. You know, you can see them anywhere from Itasca.
There are a lot of communities that blow fireworks off without any place that people come and see them.
Right.
Like any designated area.
Is that a reasonable option?
I think if we were unable to have any sort of gathering, could we look at something like that? Absolutely. Right now we'd like to look at a hybrid, but if not, could we blow fireworks off somewhere in town and have them viewable by a good portion of town? Potentially. Lots of communities do that where they don't. They blow them off at a park and everybody has to find their own place to see them, and there is no per se event or tents or porta potties or this or that. It's just, here's where the fireworks are, figure it out.
One of the advantages of the size of the village is if you elected to do so, and Orland Park did this last year and a few other communities did it, they made it a resident only event. So you had to have a pass that was given out by the village. So if half the community comes to this event, it's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. That's a very manageable number of people on that site. Maybe 1,000 people come, I don't know. Maybe people stay at home. But you could give people the opportunity to come out there, and you could always limit the number of people based on comfort level and size. And that opened it up to surrounding communities, and it's more of a village-only event.
I like that idea.
Well, it certainly seems more manageable to do that.
It's much easier to manage. It's more expensive because you don't have, obviously, all the parking revenue that's in this budget. If you let the tenants of Hamilton Lakes come in, it's probably $10,000 worth of revenue for parking, because we do ask the owners, and Hamilton is one of the owners that buys parking passes for our tenants. And so you'd have some parking revenue, but you would obviously wouldn't have $30,000. But this way, I don't know how you prevent people from walking into the site, but you certainly, what we could do is we could set up barricades and fences around some of these grass areas that are, you know, they're residents only, and we put enter and exit points on those, and we just block off all the entrances to vehicles except for emergency vehicles. Now you don't have any parking to deal with. You don't have the expense of parking the cars, and it's, you're giving the people in the community an opportunity, if they're comfortable, to come out and see it in a much smaller crowd, so that crowd disperses, I would think, much easier at the end of the evening. You've got 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people trying to vacate.
And again, I think those are all things we can look at. I think, to your question, if that's the best we can do, I think we can accommodate that. Now, it's a little hard if we maybe stay up at the Hamilton for the whole town to see it, but we could certainly do that. Can we find a place more centralized to shoot them off? Possibly. And I think we can, we have 5 months to kind of figure this out, and we have 5 months for this virus with vaccinations and the rest. It may be a lot different landscape in 5 months too. Maybe it's not. And if it's not, then I think we could certainly do either we're blowing them off at this location, no one can come on the ground, or you do a village-only concept. we may get some pushback if it's village only, because I know a lot of people invite their whole families to come on that day and can't bring your family members. We're gonna get some pushback, but maybe that's the best we can do, and if that's the best we can do, I think we can, that's what we'll do. But I'd like to leave some of the options open at this point to do the best fireworks display event we can do, and if that's basically just blowing off in the air, that's what we'll do.
We got a question.
Go ahead.
I just want to ask Rick. Rick, in your scenario number two, you wouldn't need the sound system or the sound towers or all that kind of stuff, correct?
You mean just for village residents?
Yeah, I guess that was your other option. You would still need sound.
We could obviously reduce that package. Right now, that's in the budget at about $22,000. So we wouldn't be covering the same area. Or we'd leave that the same and really disperse people in a huge way. You could save money on parking collection fees. So I could rework the budget based on a 4,000 or 5,000 person event on site. Or else, if we just go to fireworks, I can just do that too.
I'm almost thinking that if we did just the fireworks, that may be a better option, because as you said, Jeff, people have backyard barbecues with all sorts of people, friends, family. You just blow off the fireworks, you can see them from wherever you are, and I mean, that may be the best option. That way nobody's excluded, and it would be a very low cost. I mean, obviously pay for the fireworks, which is what the village has always done anyway.
Well, it still won't, I mean, there'll be some savings. It won't be, I mean, most of our money is going to be spent on the fireworks. So we're not going to save a lot of money that way. I mean, if we have to do it that way because of where the virus is at, I think it's okay. But, you know, certainly the sound system, I mean, we could do it where we just put it on the web. People can listen to it on their iPhone. It won't be as good, but we could certainly consider that. But I'm okay with it. And I don't think we have to necessarily make that decision tonight. I think all tonight we are, what we're looking for is, should we continue to move forward with doing our best to make sure we have a 4th of July, and then some parameter on the budget so that we can put that into our upcoming budget for approval.
I would support moving forward.
Is there a timeline in terms of when we would have to make this decision? So, I mean, it sounds like we have a lot of options. To Jeff's point, I think right now we're just deciding, should we move forward? But when would we have to kind of let you know in terms of what option we do in that public?
It's really Melrose and the sound company. Okay. That we'd have to commit to or not commit to. I would think from a fireworks perspective, they typically like to know in May. They may be able to go a little later, but I wouldn't think it'd go beyond. They've got to build the show, pack the show. So I would say by May 15th would be a drop dead date for letting Melrose know. I don't know the answer on the sound company. I don't know what kind of commitments they have, but probably you're looking at the same time period. It's hard to say. There are a lot of communities doing exactly what you're doing tonight. And depending on how many people decide to move forward, a lot of these companies now have been really decimated by the virus, and their workforce is down to a skeleton crew. So they're going to have limited capacity to commit. So
you think the 15th?
Once you get to May, you're in danger.
Okay.
Well, I mean, personally, I think we go with the fireworks. I'd say the sound system might be a little bit up in the air depending on what kind of event we go to, but I'm certainly interested, even if we just blow them up in the sky, I think we should do that.
I would agree.
Could you find a definite date that we would have to let you know about the sound system? Or are you pretty, you're pretty firm in thinking May 15th for that as well?
I can't hear you.
She was just asking if Rick could maybe get us a firm date on the sound system, or is May 15th the date?
I'll contact them tomorrow.
Yep.
And ask for an answer, and then I can send an email to Carrie and let her know what. I'll ask both the fireworks company and the sound system for their drop dead dates. And then I can forward that information to you guys right away.
Thank you.
I think we're not real different than we were in last spring and last summer. You know, knowing we shouldn't have thousands of people together is easy. Saying it out loud is hard. I don't think we should have it this year. I think we should just have fireworks. I would support increasing the price to a buck and a quarter. You know, I haven't gone higher than 75, but, you know, pay for the fireworks, close the park, people see them where they see them, like Margaret said, and we just do something a little different this year. I'd suggest we consider that. But we don't have to decide tonight.
Right. Correct. I think tonight we just, as long as we're okay with continuing the planning, agree that we're going to at least do fireworks, the rest of it we can work on it and see where we are at maybe 30 days from now. We got till May 15th, we almost have 60 days, but.
I would definitely say do the fireworks for sure. I would say plan that, and whatever we do with it, fine, but you know, let's definitely plan on the fireworks for sure.
Rick, just a quick question.
Right.
What Jeff was saying, yes, about broadcasting. You said over your iPhone, Jeff?
Well, we are going to look at a live stream of the music, and there's even been some talk about maybe even having it video, you know, live stream with a video. But certainly the music we would live stream. So that people on the north side of town, or whether if they stay in their backyard, they could listen to the music with the fireworks.
Yeah, I like that idea. And then that might be cheaper for the sound system, and we just decide to do that. That's easy. And I was also thinking of an FM modulator broadcaster. I don't know what the range on that is, but that might make the decision regarding the sound system. If we just do that, then we don't need the sound system. Or even if we allow cars in there, people could tune in on their vehicles. We could decide that later. But.
Right. There's lots of different ways you can certainly do this. I think what I hear is just trying to find the right way, get it done somehow. The concern of the number of people, the liability concern is a concern of the village, concern of Hamilton. You know, how could you be liable? I know I've had discussions with our insurance carriers because this year at the 1-1 renewals, there were exclusions were made to a lot of policies for pathogens. What was covered isn't covered. So is there potential exposure? It's something that we're working through right now, trying to find out, and let alone if there's liability. The only cases that our attorneys have told us that they are aware of are cases in nursing homes that are COVID-related. Those things, those are considerations that we all have to make, obviously. Can I ask a question of the police?
Sure.
So how realistic is it to shut down this park on July 4th and keep people from coming in? Or a very limited number of people coming in?
Well, I don't think that'd be too big of an issue with the use of barricades at the curriculum locations, and then the main one that you described out here, we would have patrols, you know, making sure that persons don't enter.
About 12 points of entry.
I mean, it'd be logistics about no doubt, but along with public works, we'd be going to show you.
Sure, sure. One thing that comes to mind is if we don't let people in, there's a lot of people that walk over quite frankly from Mount Grove. Cross Devon Avenue, and they come in.
Right.
That's a lot of folks.
Mike?
So we've got time to talk about this, right? The only thing we're all, everybody's interested in moving the discussion forward. What Trustee Ayani said makes a lot of sense. It's hard to say out loud, but, you know, we don't just want to do something just to do something. And what I just heard from the chief, you know, I've never heard him speechless, and he's speechless right now. How's he going to keep? I don't want our police department, put our police department in that situation where they're trying to keep people out of a park for fireworks. I can just see that getting bad. I can see that getting adversarial. I can see that getting out of control.
I can see it blowing up.
So let's talk about it at a future date, but let's all just have in the back of our heads, we may have to postpone this. We may. Rick, let's say we set this all up and for some reason we can't pull it off. Is the village's birthday coming up somewhere down the line later on that we can do it later on, or?
As long as they're in business, I'm sure they'll do it. And they'll hold the deposit and apply it toward a show.
And I would also like to hear from staff and council at a future date, right? If we lay down some ground rules and we let everybody know when we're passing out flyers and giving everybody reminders, 6 feet, wear a mask, you know, social distance, you know, all the rules that are out there, we put up the little electronic signs to try to remind people, but we let human beings be responsible for themselves. What kind of liability is the village undertaken in that situation? We're laying out the rules, we're doing everything we can do, but we can't fight population, we can't fight people that are gonna migrate over there. I mean, next thing you know, we'll be forcing them to stay in their yard. It's not a situation that
it doesn't have to be a village spot. You could just say the park's closed and
yeah.
If people show up, we don't necessarily have to shoo them away.
Yeah, I mean, something along those lines.
Because I think it would be hard to keep people out of the park officially. There's too many points. We could keep cars from going in, but I don't think we're going to be able to keep people. If they really want to walk in there and lay down a blanket, I don't know that we'll be able to stop that. And I don't know if we, as long as it's not a village-sponsored event, I don't know that we can be held responsible. At least that's my thought. All we're doing is shooting off the fireworks.
Right.
That would probably be the goal. So, and again, I would say the state has been creative as they looked at youth sports and other things. When you look at outdoor events, we just have to be mindful of what the current guidelines and rules are as we create an event and then, you know, try to put a square peg in a round hole, essentially.
I would just like to know what our liability is to do it the way the mayor just set it up and what Carrie Ann just said. If it's not a village event, just lighting off some fireworks. So follow all the rules that are out there. Do what you gotta do.
That's certainly something that we can discuss. I don't have an answer for you tonight.
No, of course not.
But I think that, you know, there are things that the village can do to limit liability, and we can, you know, Chuck and I and Carrie Ann and stuff can come up with what that may look like as we proceed.
Because, you know, if this gets out of hand, it becomes too much work for everybody to do. We all want to do something good for the town. We all want to have a party. Everybody's itching to go. Heck, we can't do it. Take the $1.25, put some sidewalks by Peacock. I don't know.
Okay, so I think the consensus is we want to, at a minimum, do the fireworks, and we'll work on, as time goes on, coming up with what the day will look like. I'd say maybe we can ask Rick to come back maybe in about 30 to 45 days as we get have a little bit more information where we can maybe put a little bit more finality to what the day may look like. Is everyone okay with that plan?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yes.
Okay.
And are everyone okay with the budget then too, if other than it may cost us a little bit more if we don't do parking, which my guess is we probably won't.
Can we table that money amount until the Rick gets back?
Discuss the generalities.
We can, but I mean, I think the only option would be the sound system.
Well, cut that out. Can't, I mean, we're not gonna be able to do it. This is, it's not a village event. I don't know whose event it is, but light up some fireworks and whatever happens, happens. I don't even know what we're voting on. If this isn't a village event, sounds like that's the best way to go. It's not a village event.
Well, I guess I don't know that we were totally ready to say that. Now, if you guys are, you are. I was kind of trying to leave some leeway here. If that's the way you feel, then let's do that and just blow off fireworks. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The general consensus is that we want to do something July 4th. Let's just leave it at that and move on.
I do think, because I think the budget is very much going to be dependent on what kind of comes out of the discussions in the next 30 to 45 days. So you have the budget. If it was going to be a full-fledged event on site, that would not exceed that amount. We will now go back to the drawing board and see if something like this is possible. And if so, this would be the template. If it's this, something like this is not possible, then come back with alternatives that would be that would be below this budget.
Okay.
Does that sound acceptable?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, Rick, thanks for all your input and hard work on this, and let's maybe plan on you coming back sometime, maybe end of March, first part of April.
Just let me know when.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome.
All right, we will go to committee reports. Community Development Committee, Trustee Latorio.
We have no report.
Capital Infrastructure Committee, Trustee Ayani.
No report.
Finance and Operations Committee, Trustee Medeiros.
No report.
Intergovernmental Committee, Trustee Leahy.
No report.
Okay, we have three items on tonight's consent agenda. Item A is approving ordinance 1971-21 regarding adopting the Village of Itasca 2021 official zoning map. Item B is approving resolution 1264-21 regarding the wastewater treatment plant Class A exceptional quality certification, task order 21-R0271. And then item C is approving the 2020 Public Works Roof Rehabilitation Pay Estimate 2 and Final to L. Marshall Roofing and Sheet Metal, Inc. Do we have any questions on the consent agenda? If not, if I could have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Medeiros.
Four.
Trustee Ayani.
Four.
Trustee Gavanis.
Four.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Okay, we have the payment of bills through February 16th, 2020. Trustee Medeiros.
Make a motion for the payment of bills through February 16th, 2021 in the amount of $669,869.54.
There is a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Medeiros.
Four.
Trustee Ayani.
Four.
Trustee Gavanis.
Four.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Okay, the department head reports and village administrator report will hold till the end of the committee of the whole meeting. Will any old business to come before the board? Any new business? Okay, we do not need a closed session, correct, here, Dan?
No.
No closed session, so if there's nothing else to come before the village board, I would ask for a motion to adjourn the village board meeting.
Motion.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Ayani.
Four.
Trustee Gabanis.
Four.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Medeiros.
Four.
Did you need to change the tape at all for the new meeting? Or? Okay. Now I would like to call order the committee of the whole meeting for February 16th, 2021. If the clerk could please make note that the same elected officials and staff are in attendance, and we have the same members on the Zoom call. We've already done the pledge, so I'll now open it up to audience participation for the committee of the whole.
Okay, if Trey, you would like to speak, I'm gonna send you an invitation to unmute. If you don't wanna speak, you don't have to accept it. Jennifer, I'm also gonna send you an invitation. Press *6 if you wanna speak. And Pat, I'm gonna send you an invitation. If you wish to speak, unmute yourself.
Yes, this is Patrick Powers. I apologize because of the way the meeting went the previous session. I didn't get a chance to comment. Just wanted to say I had an opportunity to attend the community development meeting on February 9th. And I just wanted to say how happy I was to hear what the Lakota Group is doing in terms of the community development and the existing possibilities this brings to the village. I'm very much excited about, you know, what the board is doing in this regard, and I just want to say thank you for what you're doing, and please continue to push this forward to the best of your ability. Sorry this was out of context and it should have been in the board session, but because of how things flowed, I didn't get a chance to do it, so I apologize. But thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay, we have the committee of the whole meeting minutes for February 2nd, 2021. Are there any questions or clarifications? If not, if I could have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Gabanis.
Four.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Medeiros.
Four.
Trustee Ayani.
Four.
Okay, I have no further comments. I think I used up my allotted minutes in the first president's comments, so we'll move to committee reports. Community Development Committee, Trustee Latoria.
We have no report.
Capital Infrastructure Committee, Trustee Ayani.
One item on the agenda regarding Clark Mosquito Abatement Program. Your packet included a memo from Mike, a recommended approval, copy of the agreement with Clark, which would be 4 pages. The 3-year previous contract has ended. This is extending it another 3 years. Same price as previously contracted. No change in service. There is some cost sharing with in a governmental agreement with Bloomingdale Township. Price is $59.3 a year for 3 years. It's in 4 payments of $14,845. Or 825. Are there any questions?
I don't have any questions. I mean, and I'm in favor of this. The one question, I don't know if maybe Mark or Carrie, is the Forest Preserve going to ever, are they going to spray the slough area, or are they still taking their stance that no?
No, the Forest Preserve has taken a hard line not to spray. They do occasionally do the anti-larva in ponds and pods, but they will not spray as a policy.
Okay.
Is that the county? No, who is that?
No, it's the Forest Preserve District. And you know, in all fairness, I haven't checked it since last year, so I could probably go back to them and see if it's changed. But it's a long-standing policy by the Forest Preserve District. They try to combat it in the actual ponds and standing water areas, which is really the most effective way, but they don't generally do spraying because of the other wildlife and things that are in the area.
Any other questions? I'd motion to recommend approval of a three-year agreement with Clark for the mosquito abatement program at $59,300 per year.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Latoria.
Four.
Trustee Leahy.
Four.
Trustee Linsner.
Four.
Trustee Medeiros.
Four.
Trustee Ayani.
Four.
Trustee Cabanas.
Four.
And then I just wanted to, our new director did a good job with the snow, I think. So thank you. That's it.
I'm just, Mike, I'm glad you guys took some of that snow from downtown, because I don't know where I would have piled it today when I was shoveling.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been trying to get rid of that stuff.
Testing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been trying to get rid of that stuff that keeps built up down there. I think we're probably going to have another haul out here soon. Downtown.
Where do you take all that?
This year we've been actually putting in a DC lot. We've been putting in a DC lot because it's empty.
Okay.
We've been piling in the back there.
I think some of these snow piles are going to be here till June.
Yeah.
Finance Operation Committee, Trustee Medeiros?
No report.
Intergovernmental Committee, Trustee Leahy?
No report.
We'll go to department head reports. Bob?
Just a couple of quick things, Mayor. So during this cold spell, the police department's been a repository of the warming center. My understanding, it had been used on one or two occasions for a window of time by persons. Yeah, should be. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are.
In addition to that, the officers have been really diligent on checking on vehicles on the roadway and persons walking. You know, sometimes people are walking as commuters, you know, to a job in industrial park or something like that. So we're making sure that that they're actually clothed for the environment or actually giving them a ride if we have the opportunity to do that. So we continue to do that. I continue to get correspondence from both our federal and state partners on this epidemic of carjackings and vehicular thefts that have been plaguing the suburbs as well as the city. And there's a lot of information sharing. I think I mentioned last report, this didn't stop at the borders. It's actually widespread in all communities and very brazen, the acts. And so, officers discuss their roll calls and information share. So that continues to be a plight right now.
Have we had any in Itasca or in Wooddale or Roselle surrounding communities here?
Yes. Wooddale had a very brazen one. That culminated over a couple of different towns. They actually made the paper. And a lot of these offenders are juvenile in nature. I mean, they're as young as sometimes 14, 15, 16. And, you know, there's usually some affiliation with a gang. They're, again, the intelligence is pretty graphic on they're probably not going to stop the police after they commit the act. And there's some other tidbits that they provide for us. And so again, we share that at our roll calls. But yes, to your question, it's absolutely all around. It's just a matter of to what extent. And,
I live in a bubble.
That's not a bad thing.
I know.
We like the bubble. When you think that, you know, we had that shooting at that house party last summer in Roselle, and then he had it right here in Bloomingdale at the hotel, so
yeah,
not that far away.
We did send officers to that Bloomingdale event, you know, after the initial incident happened, they called for all hands on deck, and we were able to send two officers during the immediacy until they were able to get enough personnel out there and stuff, but that was a very chaotic scene, as you can imagine. So yeah. That's all I have, thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Mike?
Yeah, so again, snow. I think we responded to our 19th event last night.
And over the weekend, due to the cold weather, we had a couple water main breaks, and I mean, the crew was spent. So we actually brought a contractor in to do those repairs for us, because they just finished plowing a 24-hour, basically, time, you know, on the clock, some of the guys. And, you know, that's pretty much what's been going on at Public Works for the last few weeks.
Looks like a little reprieve. Hopefully the weekend at least will get a little bit of a warm spell or warmers, and maybe slowly melt some of the snow.
Yeah, they've been getting breaks here and there, so it's working out, but they are getting pretty worn out.
I bet. Well, for the longest time, they didn't get any overtime. Now they're probably sick of it again. Are we doing okay with our salt supply?
Yeah, trucks keep coming in, so we're not experiencing any shortage or anything like that. So everything like that's moving all right. And we haven't had a lot of major repairs, been down pretty good, you know, for the amount of times we've been out. So everything's moving along pretty well.
Great, thanks. Mark?
No report.
No report tonight, Mayor. Thank you. Jessica, do you got anything to report?
Not at this time, thank you.
Thanks. Carrie Ann?
Yeah, so I have a couple of things that I just want to bring everybody up to date on. First goes to a little bit what we were chatting about earlier in the 4th of July, and that is we're in discussion with the Park District on the rest of the summer event schedule and how to best move forward with socially distant and COVID compliant events, including potentially the Memorial Day Parade being the first one to kick off the season. The Memorial Day Parade, there's a couple of different scenarios that we've discussed. One would be, just to give you an idea, one would be actually lengthening. We've had a fairly short parade the last few years, going from Franzen to the commuter lot, which is less than a mile. I think it's just over a half a mile, actually. And one of the thoughts is to extend the parade route so that you can create more distance between people. The Park District, at our request, has sent out gauging interest of all of the people who normally participate. We generally have 60 participants. So we should hear in the next week or so whether or not there is interest. At a minimum, we'd like to see something that is, we feel like there's probably going to be a lot of them that will take a pass because they can't socially distance. But we'd like to try to potentially look at the parade route on both sides of town, probably with some fewer entries, just because I don't think that there's going to be quite as much interest this year, but to still do it. If parades are going to be prohibited for whatever reason, we would look at doing something very similar to the reverse parade, which is something very similar that we did for the winter event that was very well received. So where we'd be able to have some music and this and that, and actually have the cars themselves proceed through a variety of acts and things that would be stationary, and then everybody would get their candy at the end. So those are kind of the two thoughts. Does the board have any thoughts on those thoughts?
No, I'm okay with either. I like the idea of maybe lengthening it, trying to do a real parade, but certainly the Christmas one was well received and nice, and if that's, again, the only way we can have it, I'm certainly okay with that.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree too.
Yeah, I think as staffs, both of us have thought if we can actually do an actual parade, I think that's the preference, even if there's not as many things in it, just getting people out to see something, rather having being put in their cars, it would be generally nicer. So it's just a matter of making sure that we can get something out there that is worth seeing. Worth people sitting at the to see. So
did you have a minimum?
Yeah, you know, again, even the bands, you know, a lot of the bands aren't practicing
right.
together. They're, you know, they're still practicing their instruments, but they're not getting the kids together. So we have to really kind of determine what kind of parade we would be even able to put together to make it worth people, you know, coming out for. So, but that's the goal. The other thing is, obviously, they kind of gave us a heads up that, you know, there are some concerns that they have. Itasca Fest is generally, which is actually a Lions event, it's on the Park District property, and there are some concerns there, given the size of that event generally. So we've been looking at some other options. One of the options that we discussed was to potentially do a shift from having large events to really trying to flex our spaces in the city for a lot of, in the village, for a lot of smaller events. Movies in the park, concerts in the park, more often, less formal. And that way give people a lot of opportunities over the summer to get out, meet with neighbors, outdoors, socially distanced, not just in backyards, and given some entertainment things to do. One of the things that came up in our meeting, though, and we want to be mindful of, is that the various eateries, in order to attract people this last year, actually sponsored bands on like Friday and Saturday night. So we want to be careful that we're not competing with our business owners. So we're going to be doing a few reach outs to touch base with them and see what their plans are for the summer, if any, and if there are some ways we might be able to partner. So those are some of the things that we're thinking through right now. But the idea of, you know, I think similar as Trustee Ioni said earlier, like everybody would, nobody wants to say like something like Itasca Fest wouldn't happen or we wouldn't be able to have it. That's really hard to say. But looking forward, and really the state has been pretty honest with us and said we don't see the state going into phase five till sometime fourth quarter of next year or fourth quarter of this year. Now I think everybody's working for kind of a, well, can we do for A, B, and C? And I know the mayor's been very involved in those discussions, and I think the state is moving in that direction. You know, again, it's all very new. So I think that there is likely to be some movement, but we're planning now for something in July. So like, how do we make sure that we're not waiting till last minute and we're creating some meaningful gathering opportunities for residents, regardless of what the state decides. So that's kind of some of the things that we're looking at. Any questions, comments, concerns?
No, I like the idea of the movies in the park or concerts in the park. I kind of really wasn't even thinking about the bands, but you know, maybe we do bands maybe on Wednesday nights like we have done, and then maybe we could sponsor a band at some of the local, I mean, we could do one at Eaglewood, we could do one at Tree Guys, maybe on a Friday night, so that we're not, so it's a village event, but it's not stepping on their shoes, maybe it's even helping them a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike?
I just want to say thank you to you and your staff for thinking out of the box. I think it's awesome that you're trying to get something for the residents. Thank you.
But I do think that it's going to be hard to have Itasca Fest, and we probably need to make that decision sooner rather than later, so Mike doesn't spend a lot of time in his committee planning for something that I think right now we pretty much know is going to be highly unlikely.
Yeah, I spoke to Phil Johnson too, and he's kind of even up in the air what the government, what Illinois is going to allow as far as carnivals and things like that. That's a big difference.
Yeah, but maybe if the Lions would be interested, or maybe you guys, we could do concession at some of these, you know, that some of the things we have in the park, movies in the park, or so that the Lions can raise some funds that way, if that's something you'd be interested in.
Yeah, that would be pretty easy to manage, I think.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk to you a little bit of today, give you an update on, is vaccine distribution, because I've had a lot of questions both from board members and members of the public, and so I wanted to give you just a little bit of an idea of how things have rolled out here in Itasca. And so we've talked a lot in, you know, over the last about how vaccine distribution in the state of Illinois, the state has decided that they really wanted to use a decentralized model. And so in essence, they've been trying to approve as many vaccine administrators around the state as possible, and then county allocations are supposed to be pushed through to those administrators. They did not adopt, neither the state or county adopted the emergency management mass vaccination plan. They felt like doing mass vaccinations with a highly contagious disease was not the best way to go. And so while all of us have prepared for pandemic and to do mass vaccination sites, the state and counties have decided to move away from that to this decentralized model, which then left all of the municipal and other governmental jurisdictions kind of scrambling to figure out how are they to get their folks vaccinated. Many municipal employees were in Group 1B, they're first responders essential in this. In addition, obviously, we have seniors in town, we have other folks in town, and so trying to figure out how to get all those folks vaccinated, and we have worked as a larger community to do that. The school districts, park district, library, and village have had conversations over the last several weeks, and while we're all at the same time talking to the health department. And so it became pretty clear early that the health departments, both state and local, were, focusing wouldn't be the word, but had developed or encouraged a plan for the schools to look to vaccinate their own folks, which through the feeder district, which was Lake Park. And so through that, many of our first responders, actually all of our sworn first responders, because DuPage County originally said they would only recognize sworn first responders. That has since moved and been put more in line with what the CDC and IDPH have decided. And so Lake Park went first. We were very fortunate to have our teachers here in Itasca and our police officers here in Itasca among the first that if they wanted a vaccine, they were able to get that vaccine. And that's in the entire county. At the same time that we had those conversations, we it also said, well, what about our communities? You know, the high schools were originally planned to be mass vac sites, and we could do folks that were 65 and older for those. Because of the limit of the availability of the vaccine, and because they didn't want to encourage mass vaccination, when we asked originally, we were told no, that wasn't a possibility. They weren't going to do those over 65. It wasn't a model that they wanted to look at. Well, in the weeks since then, it has become clear that they're not making the progress that they need to on that over 65 through the decentralized model. And so the schools now, Fenton being one, and it's going around, they're actually adopting that over 65 and allowing there to be some over 65 people that get vaccinated through those clinics. So we've been getting calls as related to that of how does our over 65 get vaccinated. So really the only thing that I have to report at this point on that is that the village is aware. We have been working on it for quite some time. In fact, we were first, but we were not able because of where the vaccine was in its availability to be able to get it here. So, and the priority for the state, or I don't want to say it's for the state, the priority was going through the schools to do that. And so we continue to kind of move forward to work on the seniors. We're working in conjunction with the Park District, who obviously has the senior club, provides a lot of senior services. So they're a great conduit to our senior community. And so we are working in conjunction with them to try to bring opportunities for seniors to get vaccinated here in Itasca. At the same time, working with the health department to look at quadrant clinics so that there's not just one mass site in Wheaton, but there are sites spread out all over the county outside of the ones that are being done through the education systems. So there are many different avenues. Remember, in this case, and I've said this often, is that we are only trying to act as facilitators here. We have no official role to play. The way that they've handled the vaccine rollout, had it gone through the emergency management function, municipalities would have been intricately involved, fire would have been involved in giving vaccination, we would have been involved in logistics. That is not how the state has decided to roll this out. The state has decided to roll this out through the health departments, through private providers, and each private provider is allowed to set their own rules within the A, B, and C category on who they want to vaccinate, how they want to vaccinate, depending on availability of vaccine, which, when you can say at the very top, is there's not enough vaccine here.
Period.
Yes.
Was that the sole decision of the governor, or was that the state legislature?
You know, I honestly, Dino, I couldn't even answer that question. I am not I'm not involved in the politics enough to know. I just know from a local level.
Yeah.
You know, we are not a direct provider. We are not involved in the logistics. We are at every step we can take, and I give a lot of credit to Bob and some folks who aren't here, like Chief Burke and Superintendent Venice. The board should know that you have some very respected leaders across this community who have worked pretty tirelessly to provide their expertise to the county, to the state, and really have the ears of some folks. And so have had a lot of success here because of that, and yet there is some pieces that we haven't been able to kind of shake loose at this point. So that's kind of how that's going. If you have any questions, you're welcome to ask me. I am hearing from more and more residents, and I kind of take those calls and we chat and, you know, try to help. We're trying to give staff the tools they need to funnel them to where they need to go.
Thanks. I was on a call this morning with DuPage, and the problem, of course, is the numbers. We at Northwestern CDH, we're giving, I mean, every day we're having clinics, right?
Right.
I think the other day we got 500 seniors through.
Yeah.
So we're doing great work there, but what has happened is now Walgreens has gone live, which is great. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But our supply has dropped in DuPage County till we're almost scared of we're not going to have enough for the second dose. So it's just that the expansion has happened so quick without the number of vaccines coming.
Yeah.
But one of the things that when you do talk to your residents, you know, if you are affiliated with the hospital, so for example, your doctor is with Northwestern, right? If they sign up through there, they will go to Northwestern, CDH, or whatever hospital, and they can, at 65 and older, get a vaccine. It's not that hard to do.
Right.
Same thing with Amina Health. So those right now to me are the best options that we should be sharing with our residents, that if they have a family practitioner, not go through the family practitioner, but go through the website like their My Chart and sign up that way, because hospitals are still giving 500 to 1,000 vaccines a day.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've been doing with our residents is, you know, the most people I hear from, and I appreciate that, so we tell people always, the health department's recommendation is to start with your primary care physician. So we say, start with your primary care physician, whatever their hospital affiliation is, and then sign up with that hospital. If you don't have their online tools, if you're not in their My Chart, if you haven't filled out their COVID surveys, you want to go ahead and do that. And the various hospitals are handling it different depending on the system. Some of them aren't letting people sign up. Some of them are saying, we'll call you when it's your turn. And so it's depending on the hospital system, depends on whether or not that they hear back from anybody, which is one of the things that has given a lot of folks. But more than anything, I'm hearing from people who are probably over 75. They don't use email. They don't know how to use a website. They have no idea what my chart is. They've called their doctor. They've, you know, and frankly, a lot of them say, my doctor tells me that they don't know how I'm going to get chosen. And so, you know, that is who I hear from. It more likely than not are people who are 70, 75 plus, or their kids who are just frustrated by the inability because their parents don't have the ability to use these systems, whether it be Walgreens or whatever, and get prioritized. So we've had staff kind of teaching them how to kind of talk them through signing up for some of those when they can. You know, do they have a child? Do they have somebody that is their power of attorney for medical that might be able to help them with that? And then we try to kind of hook them up with various resources to get them through that. Sure. That's the role I think that we're serving best right now, is being able to connect people with opportunities when they arise, while at the same time trying to create new opportunities for our residents.
Any other questions for that? It's, I would like to thank you and your staff, Carrie. I know you guys have done a great job with what limited things we can do. You guys have been very helpful, and that's good to hear. Just unfortunate that they're kind of pitting people against people and communities against communities. It's just, it's really not a good system, unfortunately. Anything else, Carrie, or is that? Okay. Any old business?
Jody, anything?
Oh.
No report.
Thank you, Joe. Dana.
No report.
I was moving on. Come on. any new business? Okay, before we adjourn, just that they did, Carrie and her staff did post a capital infrastructure meeting. If we want to talk about it to lessen next week's meeting a little bit, we can. It is getting a little late, so I'm assuming we just want to adjourn, but it has been posted. If people want to talk a little bit about capital infrastructure, we can move into that and do that tonight, or we can just hold it for next week.
I say hold it.
Okay. That's, I kind of figured, but
yeah. Do we give any specifics?
I'll stay.
We do.
How else am I going to do?
It's an extra one. We're going to continue the discussion. Next week, it's only on the capital and the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right.
You won't be here next week. You can zoom in, or you got.
I'm going to be in Florida, so.
Dino's been zooming in.
I'm only there for 5 days, so I'm not.
I haven't been.
I don't blame you.
I am not.
I know, dude.
You're a better person than me, Dino. Yeah. He's taking a part-time residency.
Okay, then we do not need a closed session, so if there's nothing else to come before the board, and for the people online, just so you're aware, we will be talking about the capital infrastructure next week. We'll be continuing that discussion. Do we want to try to make it 6:30, or is everyone okay with 7?
7. 6:30 is okay with me. Whatever works for the group.
Is it 7, Frank? Is that?
Well, whatever board wants.
Okay. Well, I know just that.
6:30 works for me, but consensus is, yeah.
6:30?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm okay with 6:30.
So 6:30 next week.
Yeah, really.
So if nothing else to come before the board, I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
So
motion.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Leahy?
4.
Trustee Linsner?
4.
Trustee Medeiros?
Yes.
4.
I got that.
Trustee Ayani?
You should finish up mine. You try to finish up your bio.
Trustee Ayani? I'll circle back. Trustee Galanis?
4.
Trustee Latoria?
4.
Trustee Ayani?
4.